said.
Don't believe what I just saw!
I'm a man! I'm 40!
This is John Sheezer. I'm here.
Eric Marino.
Eric.
No, I gotta tell you about the Clippers. I'm an
addict. Sportsaholics, I gotta.
Let's just hope this shit doesn't go viral.
Okay.
20 years in the minor leagues. Ain't no place I didn't go. Well, I got a few hits. But I never made the show. I could hang on for a few years doing what I'd done before. Won't let that laugh
in the tell us about these gravy fries.
I fell asleep in a restaurant in New York, people. All right, I've become my father. I don't remember the restaurant. You could say that a lot of the New York weekend has to be reconstructed. Like, I just looked at a picture of on me on Facebook, and I was like, oh, yeah, that's right.
You just landed in L.A.
Yeah, just back from the Roast Battle in New York.
4 hours ago, 5 hours ago.
Yes, and I was up all night. It was a lot of partying, went to a Comedy Central. It was the New York Comedy Festival in New York City. Stayed with a friend in Brooklyn who one of our comic friends slept with. I think that's pretty good. I was like one of my college friends, one of my comic friends.
Nice, you threw a bone.
Well, I think somebody else threw a bone. I was evidently asleep on the air mattress in the same room, just holding on to my pipe and my marijuana pipe and my lighter like it was my binky. I was just like clutching. I was literally just clutching in my little paws. Like when I woke up, I'm like I had a pipe in one hand, and a lighter in. It was unfold. Like evidently, I was ready to smoke right before I went to bed, and never quite and then, got to that. But that was Friday. It jumps all around. So we landed Thursday night.
Okay, for those of you at home, this was all for the Roast Battle, which right. is the show that weekly, or well,
every Tuesday night.
I can't
at midnight.
Say weekly that we advertise it because we're not on weekly, which we are trying to be. This is now be 2 weeks in a row with the show coming out.
We're weekly.
Yeah, now we're going to be weekly. But what we're saying is this is the Roast
Battle.
As
of right now, we're weekly.
This is the Tuesday show that we'll tell you that's in the comedy
store. As of right now, I'm single Marino and I'm weekly. All right, that's it. Okay, there are certain things that are going to change in a post Lady B world. Guys, who you don't know, Eric Marino here. I'm in week 11, I believe, of breaking up with my significant singer-songwriter girlfriend, who you may remember from the very first episode of Sportsaholics, the Lady B. She went to her happy place, and now her happy place is evidently North Carolina. So we're not going to be seeing a lot of her on the podcast. But if you happen to see the most beautiful girl in the world, tell her I want my apartment keys back. Sorry, I have a lot of issues. I sort of have breakup Tourette's. And
well, it comes and goes. It's very similar to my World Series Tourette's because you're claiming I said all this stuff that I don't remember.
I'll tell you this, Sheezer. You were thought of the morning we left. The morning we left for New York, Moses and I, Brian Moses, that is, Fox Compton of Facebook fame. We stopped up for the Taco Bell breakfast. Are you aware of this new waffle tacos?
They took all the stuff that I've been doing for years. And
you know what they did? You know what they have? They have a country breakfast wrap.
So you saw country breakfast.
There was a country breakfast wrap, and I wished, and you should have been there because nobody, you know, guys, if you heard the last episode and a half of us, you'll know that Tourette's boy over here was Royals. Like you know what? And to be fair, you went to the World Series and developed it last year. I was just sitting here holding myself, chanting "Arahara, Arahara." I was
your own version of it. And we actually wrap it up. We have Chris.
I was
Kamler,
Rain Man for the Red Sox.
Chris Kamler is going to come on later in the episode and just kind of wind down this whole Royals baseball season. Finally. For the show, for us, we'll put baseball aside for
a couple
months.
I'm just saying, if you had somehow gotten the Taco Bell Country Breakfast Crunch Wrap into your body before Game 7, could have been a different adventure. Oh, and also, I'll tell you something. This Professor John Little is here of the great voodoo quantum physics burning AFL jersey.
Last week, we got into all the superstitions and everything, and we made John Little a believer.
But then I had to tell him the sad tale that the man whose jersey we burnt turned out to be the winner of Game 7. Ironic.
See how that came full circle?
So that's how, and then I had explained to John that that's why witches have warts, because the power of black magic or quantum physics, if you will, can really get back at you. It can really hurt you, you know? So.
But you're back. And
so I'm back. I'm back.
So now you've gone to New York twice in as many months.
Yes.
How's Leslie? Did you bump into
her? I did. I saw her on Sunday. She's in a whole new stratosphere where now she goes into CVS and people are like, "You're on Saturday Night Live. What are you doing here?" And she's like shopping for things you need at CVS, like every human being in the world.
So she's getting the public notoriety. Like, that's the girl from... That's the girl from...
She's now just getting stuff. You guys have to understand out there that at a certain point of notoriety, people like Nike or Johnny Walker Gold or iPhone just give you stuff. What she was telling me is that she's now reached this little... Like, she's getting to the point where she kind of can't be on the subway anymore because she... Too many people are asking her for pictures and interacting with her.
Hard to miss.
That's
either.
Part of it. She said that was one of the things because some of the cast members... You know, the white male cast members basically can, like, throw a baseball cap over their head, and they're kind of nondescript. Leslie's a 6 foot tall, spiky haired black woman. You know, it's a Grace Jones in action, and it really it shows you. It's easy to pick her out in a crowd.
Yes, yeah.
When I went, I'll say this: when I saw her, when we went for the weekend of the Saturday Night Live premiere, I was in the subway with her, and about six people. It was a very funny reaction where people would just literally point at her and just say the words "comedian." And that's all they would do. They would just—they would literally point like a zombie, and they just go "comedian." And then Leslie would interact with them like, "Hi, yeah, I'm Leslie. Here on Saturday Night Live." And but now it's gotten bigger where people know her name and what she's on, and because she just became the cast member, and she's also living in a place where now she realizes how hard Saturday Night Live is as an actor, as a cast member, and that she, you know, they did two episodes with Jim Carrey and then Chris Rock. She's had this entire production week off. And she needed it entirely just to put herself back together.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of stress. Plus, you're dealing with the two of the biggest names, you know, in comedy, you know, coming in, especially with Jim Carrey. I mean, that's and Chris Rock, who, you know, who's kind of taken her under the wing.
Absolutely.
You know, over the years and, you know, has been in her corner as far as, you know, here's talent.
And if you watch the Chris Rock episode, you'll see a very funny thing she does. But she's also experienced now her first sort of flubbed sketch or first time that a sketch did not go as well as expected. Like, you know, it's like sometimes you watch Saturday Night Live, especially in that last half hour of the show, and you watch a sketch and you're like, "What? That looked kind of weird."
Yeah.
And she's now been in one of those and she realizes like, "What? That was kind of weird."
Which sketch was that?
It's the one with Chris Rock as they're an old married couple.
Okay, okay.
There are a lot of changes. It's really amazing. If for guys who don't know, Saturday Night Live does a two-hour version of the show dress rehearsal about an hour and a half before you see it live on the East Coast. So they actually cut about a half an hour of the show out, about four sketches. And then a lot of sketches are majorly rewritten. And that's why you see so much of the actors looking for cue cards and sometimes flubbing lines, or they know an older version of it. It's very hard. With script changes,
one word, which throws off the whole rest.
But
of the
you
sketch.
Know it the other way. It's like you know it the other way. So when Leslie was auditioning, Leslie did an audition to be the Weekend Update anchor that went to Michael Che, and I got to listen to all six people audition, and there was one joke that Leslie tripped over, if you will, because she had an older wording of it in her head that had been rewritten. She rewrote it. She wanted to do it differently, and then suddenly it didn't. It didn't land because when she went into it, like, you know, when you start a joke on stage and all of a sudden you're like, "Oh shit, I just said this word in the wrong order." Or there was some piece of exposition I left out before I got to the tag or the punchline. And all of a sudden I'm like, "Wait a minute. I said the funny word. I said the thing that usually gets the laugh. What just happened? What did I miss?" And then later on you listen to a tape or whatever and you're like, "Oh."
And you realize you flubbered and you said "and" instead of "is" like that.
You missed a "don't." Nuts. You didn't say "don't." So all of a sudden you said "exact" or "not." And so you what your sentence technically means exactly opposite of what you mean. Sometimes you get away with it because an audience can tell that you don't, you know, they get by your energy, what you're saying. But
so is Saturday Night Live like New York City's baby?
Oh, yeah. It's like, very New York-y thing.
Leslie probably wouldn't run into that because I don't really know that many people that watch Saturday Night Live, first off. But so in the sense of like you can go around New York and people, do they watch the show because it's in New York? Or
I think you're talking about a show that still is watched by, it's like, you know, look,
It's got its eight like, yeah,
right,
12 to 18.
Exactly. And then 40, you know, 45 and older are people who aren't out on a Saturday. Like, you're out on a Saturday night. So
yep.
You're not,
which
the
is
show
why
isn't
I haven't seen the show in 15 years.
I only started watching again because Leslie got on the show. I didn't know who any of the, I really knew, you know, it's like, oh, Kristen Wiig's not on the show?
Now, like, Saturday Night Live to me has now become, you watch a movie and then you find out they were on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah,
and
sure.
You're like, oh, because they were on Saturday Night Live? Oh, I didn't watch the show, I guess, for 8 years.
Right. And you did for a while, and you have your favorite cast.
You don't even need talent, and you can be on the show and then become a star. Like, they just push you right through.
All right. Well, attack Leslie's job. I'm not going to do that, but you can.
I'm just saying it's going to bode well for Leslie, because there are people that have been through that system that have way less talent that have done a lot. So
it was great seeing her. It was great. I got to visit her in Harlem, and it's always great to be a white guy walking through Harlem at all times. So I enjoy that tremendously. A little bit of Brooklyn, a little bit of Manhattan.
Put the Soul Glow on repeat, walk around.
Yeah. I got to, I'll tell you this. I was working. I was walking with our good friend of the show, Pete Canarcione, and a young lady, pretty young black woman, offered us sour diesel. And for you who don't know what sour diesel is, that's marijuana. And she even offered
of the good variety.
Of a very good variety, sure. And she offered it to me and Pete, which was hilarious because Pete and I were both carrying a prodigious amount of that substance on us already and did not need her sour diesel in the least. In fact, I happen to have what some people know as candies, a little hard edible candy that has medical marijuana in
it. All the rage this past Halloween on the news anyway.
Right. So the hard candy was and so I gave a New York drug dealer, I gave her drugs. I did not buy drugs. I give drug dealers drugs. And I thought that was fun for me. Ironic.
I bet she enjoyed it. That's probably a first for her.
Yeah, and then she asked if she could actually buy another one, and I said no, because I'm not about to get caught in some sting.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be charged with anything.
Well, all right. Let's go to our interview with Chris. Just kind of get his perspective of the Royals' just magic, how Kansas City's recouping from that wild ride, and just kind of get his.
And then we'll get back to my wild ride in New York.
Yeah, and then we'll get back to John Little's ride in Oklahoma.
Oh, we gotta get to that.
In a covered wagon, chasing longhorns.
Okay,
Cowboys. Just trying to get a good lot of acreage.
Yep, Sooners. Boom,
Sooner. It's a Sooner.
We'll talk college football when we get back.
After the break. After the break.
After two breaks.
I whispered in the air, come to the picture booth so I can ask you some questions to see if you're 100 proof. I asked her name, she said blah, blah, blah. She had 9-10 pants and a very big bra. I took a couple of flicks and she was enthused. I said, how do you like the show? She said I was very amused. I started throwing bass, she started throwing back mid-range. But when I sprung the question, she acted kind of strange. Then when I asked, do you have a man? She tried to pretend. She said, no, I don't. I only have a friend. Come on, I'm not even going for it. This is what I'm going to say. You got what I need.
All right, and we are back. We have Chris Kamler, our Royals aficionado. Thanks for being on Sportsaholics again. I think, what, this is your second time on?
I think it's my third time. I think the next time I get a free set of steak knives. So thank you, guys. I appreciate coming back on.
Thanks for coming back on. It's been a couple weeks now when this posts since the World Series. Have you recovered? Like, how are you doing mentally? How are you doing physically? How's the city? How's Kansas City doing?
Yeah, I'm doing okay. You know, there was the glass was 95% full, and so I can't really dwell on it being 5% empty. But man, that. Just being there, I was at the stadium, I was at Game 7, just being there and knowing that you got so close is still really, really hard. There's still just a lot of people walking around town with, you know, with that look in their eyes. The Chiefs haven't really taken over this town yet, and we're all just kind of still just chilling out. We're just trying to recover a little
just
bit.
Just in recovery mode. And that's – let me ask you this. You brought up the Chiefs. Do you think that the Royals mojo, that if the Royals can do it, we can do it? Do you think there's any carryover there at Arrowhead?
I absolutely do, because you know the Chiefs started out the first month just awful. They were awful, and then now they've you know, they're darn near. I think it's still a few weeks off, but we should win out until the Denver Chiefs game at Arrowhead. I think it's a Sunday night or a Monday night football game. That's going to be a huge deal, and I think that'll probably be when Kansas City gets back into Chiefs mode. Yeah. But still, to this day, there are more Royal sweatshirts people wearing, you know, World Series gear. We're all broke. We all got our, you know, we all got our credit card bills last week.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you.
They're all backed out from sweatshirts and hats and T-shirts and stuff, so it's going to take us a little bit of time to dig out for sure.
I'm right there with you. I spent a sizable amount of my savings on World Series stuff, so. But you know, once in 29 years. So
hey, Chris, just, we, in our last episode, we just basically, John completely debriefed Sheezer on the entire like wild card game, the division game he went to, seeing game three, up in San Francisco. But you know, you just said you're a game seven in Kansas City. The tying run was 90 feet away. And if he hits it out, you could win. Like, it could be a walk-off. I mean, just take us through your personal experience of going to Game 7, the atmosphere as the game developed, and, you know, your big takeaways, and especially how you felt that moment where it's like, you know, it's 3-2, I guess. It's 90 feet away. It's almost an inside-the-park home run. Take us through, you know, your POV.
Yeah, I was at actually all four of the Kansas City home games in the World Series, so I was extremely blessed to do that. Very lucky, so you know, very briefly, Game One was just a turd. Game Two was incredible. I got to go to that game with my son. You know,
oh,
at the
great.
Same age he was when, or I was when, you know, I went to my first World Series. Game three was incredible, and then game four was a different vibe. It was like the wild card game, and I know, John, you were there at the wild card game. The wild card game is still the single most incredible like group event I've ever been in my life, because there was just this hum, this buzz the entire game, and that buzz was present in game seven, even up until they put Bumgarner in. And then, even then, there was still just this feeling of inevitability that we were going to figure something out.
Yeah, and I agree.
I was sitting there with Rainey Gisarelli and Alex Robinson. Alex works for Major League Baseball, and Rainey's a national baseball writer, and we're just all there as fans, and we're just, you know, we're running out of outs. And, you know, you get to two outs in the bottom of the ninth. And even then, you know, with Alex Gordon up, and Alex and Salvi both did not have great postseasons. But they came through in the clutch when they had to. And then Alex, that ball went to the wall, and then it got kicked, and we're screaming, and we're jumping up and down. And he gets held at third, and then Salvi comes up. And at that point in time, I kind of knew, because Salvi had his wild card moment, and that was really a fluke. Salvador Perez has not had a really good offensive season, and so I just kind of I didn't feel as good at that point as I did maybe with Alex up. So when he popped out, we were like, okay, well, that's it. And then they started celebrating, but still, I mean, nobody had left. The crowd was incredible. A 3-2 ball game in the bottom of the. Bottom of the ninth of Game Seven of the World Series. It's something you absolutely dream of, and you know, there's a big, huge debate. There will be for years. This will be a sports bar debate for decades in Kansas City about whether they should have sent Alex Gordon.
No,
you know,
way.
I've seen both sides. I've seen the statistics saying that, you know, he was still a step off a third when the relay guy got the ball, and he would have been out by 30 feet. And I probably believe that.
Yep,
and then I've got another buddy of mine that just absolutely swears. He's like, anything could have happened. He could have bowled the guy over. He could have hook slided or something.
And that's part of it.
It would have been the greatest. And then Rainey told me, he says, it would have been the greatest ending to a World Series ever. I said, well, I guess I can't disagree with that. So it's going to be, man, we're going to be talking about this month for years, decades. We're just going to be talking about it.
Well, let's talk about. Well, I want to talk about, since it's about decisions, I want to talk to you about the. You actually, Bumgarner comes in and you hit him. You get the first hit off him. But then Ned Yost and the Royals decide to sacrifice a bunt and you give him an out. And then in some ways, like my biggest problem, I guess, was in the coulda, woulda of shouldas, was should you give like you couldn't hit Bumgarner. You finally hit him as soon as he comes in. It's almost like the spell is broken, but then you give him an out and then. You know, two fairly well hit balls, but he gets out of the inning and then he's on a roll. So my thing is more the point where maybe they shouldn't have bunted. Maybe you just should have broken the spell against Bumgarner when he came in and maybe shelled him almost like when Pedro came in game 7 against the Yankees in 04 when all of a sudden, you know, the game looked like it was in control and all of a sudden Pedro came in and like, oh, it got a little shaky. Now let's get him out and then let's actually win the game and move forward. So what are your thoughts about the bunting situation after you got a hit off Bumgarner?
It's a completely valid argument. I think when you look at the totality of October, it's really hard to criticize Ned Yost too much unless you just hate the guy. And there's a lot of folks here in town that, you know, would still want him fired today. you know, even though he was, you know, in the
he might top win manager
three
of the year.
You know, manager of the year voting and you're really his cool hand Luke type approach to this team is really one of the reasons that they were in that place, that position in the first place. But that's his game. You know, he's bunting on his baseball card. And so, you know, it's kind of that in that team's DNA, knowing that Bumgarner had shelled them or had shut them down the last two appearances, knowing that they just needed to tie it. You know, I'm probably less critical in that position of bunting at that point in time. I think it was Eske that was the one that bunted. You know, he's not a guy that's going to throw one into the gap.
Was it more likely to ground
into a double play at that position. So I'm okay with that. I think it is subject to criticism a little bit because you weren't going to get a whole lot of good looks off of him. And I think he completely shut him down until Gordon's triple. But I also think that bunt, you know, could have produced a run. We saw it multiple times in the postseason. I think it's hard to criticize the guy at this point in time because I think that's he's one of the big reasons, understated, he's one of the big reasons we got in this position at all.
My next question is actually, so what did you say to your son after game 7? So what do you say after you lose? How do you, what's the father-son moment? What do you talk about?
You know, it was tough. And he's going to yell at me because he's sitting over there playing video games. But I got a text. So it was just me at game 7.
Yes.
I got a text from my wife that said he was very upset and he had gone to bed early, and he was upset, and so I drove him to school the next day, and you know, I was just like, man, that sucks. So it's something that we talked about. It's and you know, I had to kind of talk myself into it too because we won. You know, we played until 2 days until Halloween when we easily could have been done and not even played a game in October. So
we
talked about it a lot. He was really upset, but. You know, there are many, many reasons to cry about the Kansas City Royals history. Losing it 90 feet away in Game 7 is not one of them. I think it's just, you just got to appreciate the ride at this point in time. You got to.
Now, you stood there and you watched the Giants. Now, did it feel when the game ends on a pop out, you know, a foul ball? Did you feel at a moment when, you know, the Giants start to celebrate, did it have a feeling like of disbelief or there's got to be one more chance because of all the magic? Like, how can it be over? And talk to us about what it was like to be there and watch, you know, to watch the magic end and watch the Giants celebrate on your field.
Well, that's a really good phrase, watch the magic end, because it was just, it was just over, you know, it was finally over. Because I felt like that. I don't know how many times I felt like that in the wild card game. I don't know how many times I felt like that when we were down, you know, in the World Series, what was it, 2-1, or, you know, I've seen this movie so many times in the last, you know, I went through 2003, I went through, you know, some of the worst teams ever put together. And so I've seen where this team has completely spun on a dime and just turned into the Bad News Bears all of a sudden. It never happened in October. And so every time they got down, they found that key hit the next inning. They found that clutch at bat. They found, you know, Finnegan would come in out of the bullpen, and we're like, oh, man, this kid, you know, he's going to whiz down his leg because he's just out of college. And he just throws darts. And, you know, HDH, the back of the bullpen, just was so dynamic for so long. So when Salvi popped up and, you know, you saw the end, I mean, I was upset. I was emotional, but I wasn't sad or disappointed. It was just like, oh man, okay, that's all right, it's over. But
it was a dream. It was like waking up from the best dream.
So proud of these guys. It's incredible. I've never been more proud of a group of guys representing their city in my life. I've never been. I mean, they were having so much fun. I was bummed for them because it was over for them. But I'll tell you what, they're American League champions, and they represented this town very, very well.
Okay, now take us to.
Wait, hold on. Now moving forward with the Magic and that being captured, you know, and part of that being Sung Woo Lee. Can you let us, like, what's happening with that? The last I had seen online was that some producers had gone over to Seoul and I guess petitioned with his boss to bring him back over, and he did make it back for the World Series. So what exactly is going on? Is there, I guess, going to be a Sung Woo Lee Royals Magic movie in the future?
Yeah, there is. I think the last time you and I talked, that was just sort of in the works. But I got an email about a week before the World Series asking for Sung Woo's address, and I get, you know, one of those a week. That's fine. So I gave him their email address, and guy emailed me back and said that he's with ESPN, or he's with a production company that does 30 for 30s for ESPN. These are the same guys that did the one, I don't know if either of you guys are Jayhawk fans, but they did the one about the rules of basketball.
Yeah, that guy from Austin, the guy from Texas.
Going and buying the rules of basketball and bringing it back to Lawrence.
Yeah, I did see that one. Touching.
It was a decent 30 for 30.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
They wanted to do one where they brought Sung Woo back. And I was like, guys, I literally asked Sung Woo once a week from the second he left. I said, hey, if we go to the World Series or go to the playoffs, you got to come back. Oh, man, my dad's sick. I just started a new job. There's no way. So I would ask him the next week. Same answer. So, and I told this producer guy, I said, hey, I've been asking him every, you know, a couple times a week. Nah, I think we got a plan. So they just bought two plane tickets and grabbed their gear and said, we're just going to film whatever happens. So they ended up going out there. They ended up convincing the Sung Woo's company that this was in the best interest of Kansas City and the Royals, and I think they also negotiated some things for Sung Woo's company. He works for like a duty free shop, like in the airports, and so I think, you know, ESPN and marketing and all that stuff. So I think they kind of made it good with him on the back end. But
nice. Good.
Regardless,
good.
He got to come back to the United States for the World Series, so he comes back. You'll get a kick out of this, you guys being on the West Coast. He comes back, and I help set some of this up, but all this stuff just gets so crazy around him. There's probably 30 people at the airport. You've ever been to Kansas City Airport? It's not a huge airport.
Wait, waiting for him off the plane?
You don't get 30 people standing around.
No, there's not room for it.
That's great. Yeah. It's like your Beatles.
So we had probably 8 television cameras around and 30 people, and this is the day before the World Series starts, so there's people coming off of planes. Jeff Foxworthy and Paul Rudd both walked right past all of these cameras and all these people completely unnoticed.
Well, that's
and
great.
It was hilarious. They ended up talking to Paul Rudd a couple days later. He's like, yeah, no, man, I loved it. I wasn't swamped Friday night to ask for an autograph or anything.
Well, no, no.
They're all waiting around for Sung Woo. It was phenomenal. It was great.
He probably got off the plane thinking, like, how did they know I was going to be on the midnight flight? And then all of a sudden, no one even addresses him.
Was he there for Game 7, or was he just there for the early games?
He stayed for the whole thing.
Wow.
He kind of had, and it was a little bit more of a low key trip. I mean, the last time it, it just got so crazy that we were all, you know, we were all off of work. We all took a week off of work and just kind of went around, and it was, you know, like
it was the Forrest tour.
Gump meets, it was, you know, Ferris Bueller. It was nuts. But this time was a little bit more low key. The games one and two. So ESPN worked with Major League Baseball and like got him field passes for like batting practice for all the games and and whatever. But the thing and it that turned into a little bit of a circus. And so they were filming all that. They got a lot of good film of it. But what he really wanted to do was during the middle games, he just wanted to hang out with us and have some beers and watch the game. And that was really cool. The ESPN guys kind of just, you know, left him alone while the team was in San Francisco. And we went to a pizza place one night. We
Where'd you go?
At somebody's house one night.
Did you go to Minsky's?
And he's just a guy. He's just a Royals fan that happens to live 4,600 miles away. And he's just a Kansas Cityan. He just didn't grow up here. And so that's what he wanted to do. He wanted to eat some barbecue, drink some beer, and watch the game. And he got to do that. And so that was kind of the trade-off. He sort of signed his soul away to go on this trip the second time because he had to do some appearances and he had to do some, you know, he sat with Paul Rudd, you know, one game and stuff. So they, Fox and ESPN, they got the shots that they wanted, but he also got a chance to just chill.
So you would
the
say
other part that was really important to me was, so we sold some of these Sungwoo shirts. The shirts with Sungwoo's name on them.
Yeah, that's right.
Sungwoo's face on them. And the proceeds from those shirts went to a local homeless shelter here in town. Well, Sungwoo got to present him the check.
And it was
a check for $2,500.
Oh, that's great. That's fantastic.
It's called the Bishop Sullivan Center. And had they not brought him back, it just would have been us, you know, dropping it in the mail or something. And so it was really, we all cried, and it was just really cool. This place feeds 300, you know, homeless people every night of the year, you know, rain or shine, holiday or not.
What was the name of the organization again?
Just from his face, and it's the probably one of the biggest moment I'll never forget, and it was just because of this crazy baseball team and its crazy fans and this crazy town. So that was pretty neat.
And that's the Bishop Sullivan Center, is that right?
Bishop Sullivan Center,
Kansas City. I'm sure you listeners, if you want to donate, obviously a good organization.
Does it.
Feeding the needy in Kansas City. But I mean, aside from the $2,500 check, that's a spotlight on that organization and brings them a lot of, you know, media attention, which is priceless. So that's great.
And so really what we're saying is that Sun is sort of he's a Kansas City native who just happened to be born in a Korean's body. Is that what we would say? He's sort of trapped in a Korean body?
Yeah, he absolutely is. He's just one of us. He's just,
it's great.
You know, he has the same inside jokes, and we all make fun of Salvador Perez, and we all do this stuff. And he learned all this stuff from us from Twitter, and he's just one of us. He just happens to have a very unique address, is all.
Yeah, live 12,000 miles away.
Now, what do you think would have happened? Go play the what if for a second. Let's just say that Perez hit it out of the park, and you win 4-3 on a walk off home run. Is Kansas City still standing? Would you have teared down the K? What happens? Take me through what would happen if you actually come back and win that game or force an extra innings? Play a little what if for me.
Oh, man. So one of the things that I was involved in, and I hated being involved in, because I didn't want to tell Sungwoo, because Sungwoo was very, very superstitious. But this lady from the county called me early on in his trip and said, I'm in charge of setting up the parade. And I said, I don't want to hear about it.
I don't even say the word.
But there were, I mean, she kind of laid out the plans for the parade, and this place would have just shut down for 3 days. It just would have absolutely shut down.
What were the plans for the parade?
What was the game 7 was on a Tuesday. There would have been nothing done all week. The parade would have been Friday. That Friday would have been out. Saturday would have been out. Sunday would have been out, because I think the Chiefs were at home on Sunday. This place would have just gone nuts for 6 days.
Well, let me ask.
I would like to think that we would not have burned or shot or looted. I can't say that for sure because I know that happens a lot of places.
That happens every day. Of course, that would have happened.
You guys have won 3 rings now. So,
but there could have been some barbecue looting. There could have been barbecue looting.
Stop shooting things. But the joy, the overwhelming joy that this town had, even when we were. I mean, we popped 3 out of 4 champagne bottles, so it was not bad, and nothing got burnt down at that time. It was just cab drivers and, you know, people at the post office and people just that you walk in the lobby of your building, and everybody's wearing royal stuff, and everybody's high-fiving strangers. It was just such a good vibe. This place would have gone absolute bananas. And even the next day after they lost, they had just kind of a rally at the stadium, and there were still 15,000 people that showed up at 12 hours notice on a Wednesday at 10 in the morning.
There were more people.
So, I mean, that just shows you that this – we weren't – I mean, we were so hungry for this for so long that if anything moving forward, we may be even hungrier now. But, what if – you know, it would have just been crazy. It would have been nuts, and my liver has already taken a beating this month. I'm not sure I would have survived. It would have been crazy. It would just been nuts.
Well, Chris, thanks again for coming on, and you at home can follow at TheFakeNed on Twitter, and where can they read you at? PineTarPress.com.
PineTarPress.com. We also just launched a new website called The KC Post that's featuring a bunch of local writers and a couple other things. So we're just getting that started. But, yeah, at The Fake Ned is usually where you can find me at my worst. So
And entertaining as hell, as always.
Did anyone dress as a Giant or Giant fan for Halloween?
No, that would have been unacceptable. That would have been absolutely unacceptable. There were some, Sexy Hunter Pence does have a nice ring to it. I'm not going to lie to you, but no, there were a lot of Billy Butlers. I saw a bunch of little fat little babies dressed up as Billy Butler on Instagram or whatnot. So that's a pretty good one. But no, not a whole ton of San Francisco Giants.
Did you actually see anyone dressed as a plate of country breakfast?
Well, that'd be fantastic. No, he famously went to Oklahoma Joe's every day of the World Series right before the game. Billy Butler did. So are you guys not familiar with Kansas City and their barbecue? Probably the top one or two barbecue places in the country, and certainly in the city, is a place called Oklahoma Joe's. He got his barbecue on before the game.
That's
sure.
great. That's great. He probably had it mail ordered out to San Francisco too. He's like, I'm not playing. I might as well be eating, adding
probably
to the
right.
belly.
I think that. Gosh, that stupid National League rules. Man, don't even get me started.
Yeah, we won't. You know what? We'll pick it up next time, and we'll let you get back to your everyday life. But thanks for coming on again, and you just kind of giving us the vibe of Kansas City and what it was like to actually go through that.
And you might need to talk to your therapist about this Sexy Hunter Pence thing. I'll tell you that. It's creeping me out, man. But Chris, thanks, man.
My therapist is well aware. That's why I pay him the big bucks. Anytime, guys. Thank you. It's an incredible month here. This is such a cool town, and it was neat to see the spotlight on Kansas City for the whole month, and we're just, gosh, we're so ready for next year now.
Pitchers and catchers report in
3 and 3.5 months. So at The Fake Ned, pinetarpress.com. Guys, look up Chris Campbell's work. It's always great, and it's always informative and funny. So thanks for coming on, Chris, and we'll talk to you soon, all right?
Thanks, guys. Anytime.
Thanks, bye, man.
So again, thank you, Chris. Follow him at the fake Ned on Twitter.
Let's put a big midnight blue bow on this whole Royals season. Blue. Let's just put a big midnight blue bow on the Royals for a while,
Eric. Life
until
is
after
simple.
Christmas.
Life is simple. It is easier. It's either cherry red
or midnight blue. Cherry red, midnight blue.
That's
pitchers
simple.
And catchers. February, man.
Thank you, okay. Lou Graham, for just we'll summing it up so simply and beautifully.
We're gonna put it up on blocks. Cause you don't hear me raving about Boston Strong 14 months later. Oh wait, I just did. Sorry. All right. So what are we talking about?
Gotta bring up the bombing, huh? Bring down the mood a little bit.
No, I don't. I said strong. It's the good part. It's the recovery. Oh, okay. You know what I'm saying?
Anyway, Chris, thanks for coming on. It was great. Follow him on Twitter, pinetarpress.com, for some great baseball insight. And with that being said,
hey, and remember, guys, if you have any questions, comments, or things you just think we should be doing better, please let us know at sportsaholics with an X at Gmail.
Yes. We will respond to those, good and bad opinions appreciated. By the way, the Chiefs are looking better than ever and surprising everybody and look like they might be able to make the playoffs.
The reason the Chiefs are looking better than ever, Sheezer, is to you, the NFL season has just started. You have been wrapped up and blinded by the Royals and have not seen, you didn't even know what players were playing and who was on whose team anymore. I mean, it's like you have been, and I've been there, man. In 2007.
I didn't know that Adrian Peterson was not allowed. I thought he had like a 2-game, hey, I spanked my kid. He hadn't played all season. That blew my mind, which then solidified this bit I've been trying to do about him. The problem was he hit his kid's scrotum is what it says in the report. He hit the kid's scrotum
he
with
broke
a switch.
The kid. He broke. Look,
can't switch kids anymore.
No. You know what you can do? You can. If it's your house and no one needs medical assistance afterwards, then you can. Then you can get away with it. But you know what? The second you do something that a police officer or a fireman or a medical doctor has to come in and assess the situation, that's when you get into the world of we can charge you with crimes.
True.
We can take the kid away from you. You know what I mean? You can lose parental rights. It's like, hey, man, that's uncomfortable. If you spanked your kid so hard that you need to go to a doctor or an emergency room or that his little scrotum is bleeding, I mean, what did the kid do? This is what I want to know. What did the kid get into that was so bad? I got to whip him till he bleeds in there.
I think it was something like, wait till dad gets home. I mean,
It was in a public park. That's also how it came out,
But and still, that is this week's
edition. But
guys,
remember this story. This story is weeks old, and Sheezer's just getting into it now.
I am.
Like that is what we're saying. He is like Ted Williams' frozen head.
Dad's at home. Tell me, what's it like to like show up and then have mom be like, "All right, you got to be all pissed off at Junior because he did."
You know, Ray Rice hasn't played either, right?
Yeah, I know that. I knew that. Yeah, because beating your wife is way worse than beating your kids.
Hey man, it was the videotape.
It's the videotape.
It's the video. You can't. He'd already apologized, and once people saw the videotape, he couldn't apologize again because he'd already apologized. And what are you gonna do? You're gonna have another big press conference. The wife's gonna say, "Well, I really did give him some shit, and he spit on me, and I spit on him." And then it wasn't so much him knocking me out as my head hitting the railing, and the elevator knocked me out. I mean, you know,
it's just details. I didn't fall as violently as it looked out of the elevator. He set me down kind of gently. My husband, who I then married 3 months later.
Hey, man, I think Ray Rice has a case, and he should win a lot of money from... He got double penalized. He got put in double jeopardy. You gave him a suspension. You changed your own rules. Then you said, even though we changed our own rules, Ray Rice is still only going to get 2 games. And then suddenly you have a public relations problem that people saw one of your star players knock his soon-to-be wife unconscious. You have a PR problem. The legal issue had already been settled. It's an appearance problem, and you'd already done the PR campaign, and you can't... Now people were horrified
by
him.
So the video gets leaked. Is that Yeah. That's what happened.
TMZ Sports hit it.
So, and then they lied and said, we hadn't seen the video. And they're like, well, somebody did because we sent it to you.
Then they're ignorant. That's the story, if they, it's like they're either lying or they're stupid.
So they should have just, from the get-go, said, this is everything.
Right. So you said, hey, look, you have two games for this incident. And then you say, we're not going to change it. But from the future, it's going to be six games. And if you do it a second time, it's like a possible lifetime ban or whatever.
Because what they did anyway is go by public, you know, outcry.
But then
right?
they didn't. But
so why don't they just put it out on Twitter? And then let everyone vote. How many games does Ray Rice get for beating the shit out of his wife in an elevator right. in Atlantic City?
If you want people to turn out to the midterm
season,
elections, put something on a ballot. If they'd put Adrian Peterson spanking his kid and Ray Rice hitting his wife on the ballot, Obama would control the Congress and Senate because the Democratic turnout would have been much bigger. That's what I'm going to say. And that is my sports conspiracy for the week.
All right. Well,
if we could put things that matter on the ballot.
Let's keep it with football. We're going to bring in John Little, an Oklahoma native. John, what city are you from? Many a young man lost her Oklahoma City. We'll go to break. We'll be right back. Many a soldier shed his lifeblood on my blade. The bastards hung me in the spring of 25. But I am still alive. I was a sailor, I was born upon the tide. With the sea I did abide. I sailed a schooner around. All right, so we are back and we are with John Little. Let me see your volume. Give me some
check.
There
check,
we go.
It's a pleasure to have you here. We want to talk. Want to talk a little bit about your obsession with college football since you have no pro sports teams that you
you're
love?
You're from Oklahoma City. Now, this is before Oklahoma City became a major city, which we all know doesn't happen until you have a major sports team. Yes, you have the Hawks, the AAA team there. Is that where Hawks
Yeah, how'd you know that?
And then
you're a real sports buff. Jesus.
Sportsaholic.
Who knows that?
And but
he's pitched for many minor league teams.
Yeah, you didn't know that. Yeah, I was a West Texas Midland ace for a couple months for the A's.
Big fan of the minor league game.
Yep. So you're from Oklahoma City, pre-Oklahoma City Thunder.
Well, I grew up in the Houston area as a child. I grew up first 13 years in Texas, so I was a big Houston Oilers fan.
Okay.
And I cared more about the Houston Oilers than I did about the Oklahoma Sooners.
And they broke your heart. Let's talk. You know what? It's about sportsaholicism. And John is a Houston Oilers fan to this day.
Well, can I talk to you about this social awareness that we're dealing with on ESPN?
Yes.
You guys were talking.
This is good.
I heard you guys talking about social awareness. Who's whipping his child? She got punched in the mouth. And there's a gay guy playing. Who gives a shit? Show me the fucking score. That's why I'm watching ESPN, to watch the fucking scores. I want to see replays. I want to see highlights. I want to hear about the social aspect of fucking sports.
Just play the game.
Play the goddamn game and show me the fucking score. That's
scores
what you're there
game.
For. This isn't TMZ. If I want that shit, I'll go to TMZ.
I
don't want gossip.
Cancer is becoming a cancer on ESPN. It's like they run a cancer story every other day. They turn it too much into like a soap opera, and it's not. I actually watch Fox Sports 1 now. I've pretty much written off SportsCenter. I'll go to Fox Sports 1, watch their stuff.
The Fox News of sports.
No, because when I grew up, SportsCenter, you turned it on, it was a box score, they broke down the game, you got what everybody batted, you got the whole breakdown of the game.
Yeah.
You didn't get a quick, like, jump around, like, here's an NBA game, here's hockey, and it wasn't, like, all
you
over the board.
You didn't have Stephen A. Smith
it
and
isn't
Skip
just who
Bayless
the backup quarterback
around.
Is coming in this week, it's about how does he feel about being the backup
here's
quarterback.
Here's a high school
We talked
story.
To his mother. This week.
They were just asking.
And he was a little down about last week's game. I think the depression has gotten to him this game. That's why he didn't play that well this week. I think he's depressed.
They have Mark Sanchez is playing right now in Monday Night Football as we tape this. And they spent a whole segment, which they kept pushing and advertising was coming, where he talks about which Philadelphia cheesesteak place, Geno's or Pat's, he likes to go better. I mean, it's, as my father likes to say, the happy horse shit.
It's like, a good saying.
Cut the happy horse shit.
Show me the goddamn.
And I think
thing.
You said it differently with the just show me the goddamn scores.
Yeah.
So, Oklahoma City, is that a house divided, like half Sooner Nation, half Oklahoma State Nation? Like, how does that
usually the more retarded of the people there are big OSU fans. They really love OSU. It's like the real dipshit.
So
you know,
you're
kickers,
Cowboys,
and they talk shit, and they have no reason to. They've never won anything. They've never done shit.
They had Big Country Reeves.
I love Big Country,
and that was about it.
I loved him.
I was in All-State football, and he was in All-State basketball the same year, and nobody would talk to him except for me. He was a Big Country freak.
Wait,
he wore jeans in the middle of August.
Do you know Bryant Reeves?
Yeah, I hung out with him a little bit during the All-State week.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
You never told this?
Big Country.
Wow, you go digging.
Goon would sit over there by himself, and I knew in my mind that this guy is the only shot of anybody here going pro. That guy could go pro. He's 7 foot.
Right.
Everybody else is just a fucking asshole like me.
And so, wait, did you grow up in the same town?
No. I saw him at the All-State game.
Oh, okay.
I was football. He was basketball.
You
but
were All-State. John Little, All-State. What position?
All-State foot, defensive end.
Defensive
really?
End. Wow.
You do have anger issues to play defensive end.
Yeah.
That's
why I was so good. I was very angry. Took it out on the opponent.
God, was it one of those like they would just be crying because you're just like the look in your eyes, which can get very intense.
I never knew you played defensive end. And you're All-State.
Oh, yeah.
In Oklahoma.
Every hit was a helmet-to-helmet with me, or I tried to.
Well, don't you think that it's a thing, like you have to be crazy and violent. Like people don't really understand that you play that you are an insane.
Yeah.
You're being taught to hit
these guys are all these guys that make it to the NFL are all out of their fucking minds.
Right.
And
you're encouraged to be crazy.
It's a different it's a different mindset. They have a whole they have a kamikaze mindset on life.
You were told by grown men since you're a small boy to go and kill that person.
Destroy him. And you're rewarded for it by everyone.
Yeah.
You knock the living fuck out of somebody.
So did you...
And you're rewarded. That is great. You're doing a wonderful job.
In Oklahoma City, were you able to... I don't know, what's the best way to put this? Kind of dazed and confused, like you're the All-State football player. You don't have to go to class. You get to skip school.
No, I was very... I was a dork, so it didn't matter.
So you just.
I was respected by people.
You went to school and
I did.
So what?
Like
so
Ferris
why not
Bueller,
college?
Everybody liked
did
him.
You play in college?
I hung out with the band nerds.
Did you play in college, John Little?
No.
Why not? If you're All State, I'm assuming
you know when you
got
get your bell rung.
Did you get offers?
Yes, but you get your bell rung. It's a light concussion, is what that is. It's concussions is why I stopped.
So trendy.
I was way ahead of the time. I go, nah, I'm not going pro. Why am I going to abuse myself like this?
It's a horrible sport to get into. Did you get an offer, let's say, from a Tulsa to play?
No. Louisiana Tech. OU said I could walk on. They asked me to walk on. It'd be fine. You might get a scholarship next year. Some bullshit schools in Kansas.
Probably some Kansas. Junior college. A lot of junior colleges probably tried to get you.
Yeah.
They got a really good junior college league down there. Yeah. They turn out the pros, though.
Do you have a nickname?
You could have been.
No, I didn't have a nickname. No.
The hammer?
No.
Crazy
the jack?
John Little.
No.
Nails?
They tried to
Spike,
give me a few, and
crash.
I said, no, let's not do that.
Big John Little?
So you were done. Yeah, so you played your last football game and knew it at that All-Star game, or was that pre?
Yeah, that was it.
That was your last game.
Yeah.
And
you look
over,
lose.
You
we
look
won.
Over.
We beat the shit out of them. We had three Oklahoma Sooners on the team.
Did you play against any NFL people over the years?
The kicker Scott Blanton played for the Redskins.
The kicker
Dwight McFadden played for the Eagles as a running back backup.
You lay him out pretty good once or twice.
I covered him fairly well. He was supposed to be very fast, but he wasn't all that fast.
Yep. And that's when those letters from Louisiana Tech started coming in after that game. Yeah. You're like, this is my boy can cover.
I had no idea. This is fascinating. I've known you for a long time and not known these stories.
I know. I love it, man. You're a man of mystery. But I guess that's Oklahoma, right? So are you on a farm? Are you in the suburbs? Like, I picture Oklahoma.
Moved around a lot. I was in elementary. Moved throughout Texas a lot. I was really into the Houston Oilers. Into the Houston Oilers.
So are you...
And they... you know, they got beat by the Bills every year, that biggest comeback of all time. You know, when we were
in
up 35-3, that made me want to puke. Then they just left, so I left the NFL. I stopped rooting for.
So is it an allegiance to just the Oilers, or is it Houston?
It was Houston Rockets. I was a Houston guy because that's where I grew up. You know, when you were young, that's where you first.
Yeah, that's your first impression.
Yeah, your kindergarten, first grade. That's where you.
Which is crucial. Those of you at home, if you've got like nephews or a son, daughter,
indoctrinate.
Anything, it's
yeah.
crucial at that early old. Age. You got to get them decorated. Get shit on their backs. Get them hats. Get coats. Anything. Get them brainwashed early.
Now, Caesar, you know that the Houston, I don't know if you know this about the Houston Oilers. Do you know that they have a song, much like the Redskins, Hail to the Redskins? Did you know that the Houston Oilers have a song?
I did not know.
Because
that.
And after the break, I hope maybe we can find it and put it in between the break for the music. But
yeah,
John,
I'll look it up.
John, why don't you sing us a little bit of the Houston Oilers fight song? Because I think you guys will really enjoy it.
It goes a little something like this. Houston Oilers, Houston Oilers, Houston Oilers number one. Bum, 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 bum. Houston Oilers, and does the whole thing. We're number one. When you talk Super Bowl, you're talking Houston Oilers. And they never, ever went to a Super Bowl,
when
ever.
You're talking Super Bowl, you're actually never talking
you're
about
never
the Houston.
Talking the Houston Oilers.
Well, I mean,
never
I
happened.
Mean, you had the Warren Moon years.
They flirted with it a lot.
Yeah, they
never.
You know, so you're a huge Warren Moon fan? Like, who was your guy?
Earl Christian Campbell.
Yeah, Earl Campbell originally. Yeah, I was a big Warren Moon fan. I met him... In 91, he was in Oklahoma City and got an autograph. He was a real prick, so.
Yeah, I actually mailed him a card, you know, return envelope, everything. Never got that back.
Moon is a real asshole.
Yeah.
Then I moved to Oklahoma at 13 in the middle of Bosmania.
Oh, Bos.
Brian
so I get
Bosworth.
To So I get to junior high, and 35% of the kids have that stupid fucking Bos hairdo.
Yeah.
And I was just blown away.
You're like, what is going on?
Yeah,
right now?
Yeah.
Like Brian Bosworth. He's just like ruining.
The Bos.
So did you
get And they never got his hairdo right. You know, the ones that they got were like from Supercuts. So they were shittier versions of the Bos.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It wasn't the good, like, Bosworth had a nice.
But it was boxed.
Yeah.
It was tight.
He did it nice. And it looked good on the Bos.
He had a real barber. Yeah. He had some real styles. So
these kids are getting them at Supercuts, and they're fucking look shitty.
Cheryl.
Horrible.
Cheryl doesn't know how to do that.
Yeah. Cheryl's a.
Exactly.
Did you ever get the cut yourself?
Never. I think you've known me better than that.
I don't know.
We were learning things about you all the time.
But that's when I wanted to get good at football, though, my dad took us to a game, and the Bosworth came out, and he was just strutting, and all these girls were screaming like he's a Beatle, and he kind of just gives them a nod, and I go, God, this is awesome. I have got to get good at football, because I wasn't that good before then. That I was determined to get good at football.
Yeah.
And I became really good at that point.
And I became, speaking of becoming really good at something, for the listeners, we know John from way back from the comedy stages, from the Comedy Store and around L.A. Did you start out here? Did you start back in the Midwest or the South or whatever Oklahoma considers itself?
I don't know what they call themselves. Midwest or
Midwest,
South?
The Southern Midwest.
Southwest. Indian Territory is what I call it.
You stole that land.
Yeah.
The Sooners.
But we
they gave them that land and stole it again.
Right.
Indian givers.
You gave to Indians. You're the
Yeah,
Indians.
We're the Indian givers.
Right. And you stole your Boomer Sooners stole Yale's fight song.
Yes, and a Sooner is a cheater. A Sooner is somebody that jumped in the land run.
Yeah.
That is they're a cheater.
You're saying you're a cheater.
Yeah. So are they. They are Sooner State.
Might as well be the line
The cutter, cheaters.
Because nobody likes a line cutter. And if they called the line cutters, I don't know if it'd be so
Yeah, they're Ooh. Oklahoma cheaters, basically, is what their
That's what we're saying.
Mascot is.
So did you start there, or was that a venture? I'm going to go out to
California. Oh, at 19, I did it four times. Crushed it the first time. Second time, did well. Then I ate shit. Then I ate shit again. Then I said, well, maybe I'm just not good at this. Yeah, I thought it should come naturally. I didn't know, realize how hard it was.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, I just don't have it.
Well, some of it comes naturally, but yeah, it's a battle.
Then I'd listen to comedians talking how they eat shit all the time and always ate shit and still do. And I go, oh, well.
It happens.
It happens, I guess.
So what do you...
Then I basically started here at 27.
So when you get to Oklahoma, so you're brainwashed, you're forced to pick, yeah, I don't get the Bosworth haircut, but I got to pick a side. Do I go with white trash Oklahoma State?
Oh, no, no.
Or do I go with blue?
My grandfather graduated from OU.
Oh, okay. So it's
so I already had it, yeah. It was,
oh, okay.
It was handed down.
Throughout the generation.
I would have went with them anyway. They got better colors, better tradition, better stadium, better everything, better town. Stillwater's a shithole. Yeah, briefly.
You dabbled in Oklahoma University?
Yeah, for a year.
He walked on.
Did you?
No, not in football.
Just campus.
Yeah, I walked around, took some classes.
Walked off.
It was very expensive. There was another school that was going to pay for it. I went to the other school.
Yeah, that's it. So do you, now that you've been removed from that for, you know, the better part of a decade now, do you still even care? Do you, like, does the Sooner mm-hmm. blood still run through you?
Yeah, I care every year until they fucking choke, as they do every year.
That's what I'm saying. That replaces, since there is no Houston Oilers in his life, he has filled the void with college football. As many people, like our friend Willie Hunter does in Alabama uh-huh. with Auburn, it's like there are certain people that, like, you know.
We have the Thunder now, though, and I am still a Rocket fan, so I still have that.
Is it? Are you surprised at how well? I mean, I know the Thunder are good, but are you surprised at how well they took to Oklahoma City? Have they just been waiting? Like, I don't know. It seems like that's just like a mid-sized.
I think they really lucked out with Durant.
Most
people aren't going to like playing in Oklahoma and being in Oklahoma. That guy loves it. I don't know why, but he does. He likes the small town vibe.
He's leaving.
I mean, I've been through Oklahoma City.
If they don't win a title in the next couple of years, he's going. He's off.
They're all leaving.
He made some off-the-cuff remarks about living and playing in Washington,
yeah,
LeBron
Washington,
going home, and then they were like, "So, do you want to go back?" And he's like, "Oh no, I was just saying, like, it's nice to go back home and play, you know, where you grew up. I wasn't saying I want to do that. It's just
and
would
way,
be
don't,
nice."
Don't be saying it after you just broke your leg on your HBO show.
But wait, who broke their leg?
Durant. Durant's out for.
Oh, okay. But on his HBO show.
Yeah, it's there's a train.
Yeah, tell us what's going on HBO. We don't have the kind of money.
Yeah, I'm
that
not
you have.
I've refinanced my girlfriend. My girlfriend left me. Sometimes I need to fill the void.
What's this HBO show he has? What's going on?
It's people tell me what it's called. It's about his. It was about his off season.
It's one show. It's like a weekly thing.
I think it might be a weekly thing, or it was going to be, but it actually follows it through. He was playing for Basketball USA, and then he decides to quit. And they're sort of following that when he makes the decision. And then they show him him basically fracturing his foot. And now he's suddenly going to be out. And I want to say, like, there's a billboard up on Sunset down the street that's like, you know, never stop training, or, you know, there's some ridiculous
line. It's right next to the billboard that says you porn. Love is
porn,
can be
porn,
for one person.
Pornhub.
Pornhub.com.
They got a Pornhub billboard?
There's a huge one. It says
really?
Yeah.
Give yourself a hand.
Give yourself a hand, something like that. So
give
me your worst.
Are they
Oklahoma
running
State.
Out of spankers on the website?
You're just trying to get a market share.
Give me
there,
your worst.
By the way, let's give
Oklahoma
it up for Pornhub,
State.
Possible future sponsor of Sportsaholics. I'm going to give a shout out to Pornhub right now.
What?
I'm a fan. I'm a user.
I haven't been yet.
What's the worst, like, most toothless? Like, what's a typical encounter were they Hokies?
Cowpokes.
Cowpokies, right?
Cowpokes. They're cowboys. The Oklahoma State Cowpokes is what they call themselves. Cowboys. Is that what a cowpoke is? I don't even know what a cowpoke is.
I don't know. But don't they
never bothered to look it up.
Don't they have a funny nickname? Isn't it Pokies?
Cowpokes! Cowpokes! Woo!
Yeah, that just sounds.
Yeah, it sounds shitty. Everything about Stillwater is shitty. It smells like shit there.
It's called the off season. It's Kevin Durant's the off season, just to finish that point.
It's Kevin Durant the off season on HBO, sponsored by Pornhub.
Well, not true.
Well, hey, let's wind
but
this
the
down.
The advertisement is his game never ends.
His game never ends.
Which is ironic because his game has been suspended.
But it didn't end. It's just on.
Oh, isn't it? I don't know, man. He might play again.
Little online, what?
John Little 38 at Twitter on Twitter.
John
on
Little 38.
Yeah, I'm on the Twitter.
All right, we'll retweet the link when it comes up. Follow John. Always funny. Always on stage. Show up. Go up. Open mic.
Yeah, Sunday nights, 11-1. But also this Thursday, if you guys hear this Thursday, November 13th, I will be hosting a Death Squad show at 8 p.m. in the main room of the World Famous Comedy Store. So that
there
is
you go.
Thursday, November 18th, Death Squad, you know, with Red Band and the
gang.
And
I'll be hosting the Roast Battle pre-show on December 2nd, I believe, the first Tuesday of December.
It's
I'll be
new,
hosting that.
The new 8 to 12, 8 to 1 in the morning
in
format.
In the belly room. And then also Kansas City, I'll be there over Christmas at Stanford and Sons Go to johnjonishere.com for more details.
If anyone has a time machine, they can go back in time to see me in New York asleep in a restaurant called Bad Burger about 3:30 two nights ago. Saturday night or Sunday AM. I'd probably be asleep in Bad Burger. So if you have a time machine, you can find me there.
John, any closing words?
Nothing
good, good.
Oh, that's the, is that our show?
Yeah, I think so. Did it. Master Love you guys.
In the spring of 25,
but I am still alive. I was a sailor. I was born upon the tide. With the sea I did abide. I sailed a schooner around the Horn of Mexico. I went aloft to furl the mainsail in a blow. And when the yards broke off, they said that I got killed. But I'm living still. I was a dam builder across a river deep and wide, where steel and water did collide. A place called Boulder on the Wild Colorado. I slipped and fell into the wet concrete below. They buried me in that gray tomb that knows no sound. But I'm still around. I'll always be around, around and around. I fly a starship across the universe divide, and when I reach the other side, I'll find a place to rest my spirit if I can. Perhaps I may become a highwayman again, or I may simply be a single drop of rain. But I will remain, and I'll be back again and again.